But it is our honor to have Brother Eddie Davis from Crossville, Tennessee to be with us tonight. Amen. Preach to us, my brother. We love you. Amen.
You got that on?
Yes, sir. 1982, my wife and I, for some reason, had to go to South Carolina. I'd been saved August the 2nd, 1980. I started preaching when I got saved. I knew I had to preach. So somewhere as we was going through, we stopped and had a bite of lunch. And I saw a brochure, Blue Ridge Baptist Camp Meeting.
Mama.
And on our way back through, I told my wife, I said, "Are you up to stopping in?"
Wow.
And she said, "I'm not really dressed for meeting." I said, "Well, I'm not either." So we stopped in, sat way back over yonder in the back. Didn't know anybody. Nobody knew us. 1982. That night, God did something in my heart. And the Lord put about four places in my life, about four places that I said, "Lord, if it would be your will sometime or another, let me preach there." This is the fourth place. And I'm glad God has honored that request. I don't deserve to be here at all. But God let me know that if I delight myself also in Him, He'd give me the desires of my heart. And now at the age of 65, just about worn out and just about gone, God has honored that request. I never breathed a word about that to anybody but the Lord. And now, God is a good God. He's wonderful, He's marvelous. He's great, and He's greatly to be praised. And if you're here tonight and you don't know Him, I highly recommend Him to you. You'll never meet anyone like Him. He's a great Savior. Well, I didn't know all of that was going to happen, but I'm sort of liking it. What's going on in my soul? God bless His name. He's wonderful, I'm telling you. Nearly 40 years ago, there was a breath that got in my soul sitting right back yonder. And I'm sensing it here again tonight. Just like Brother Scott said, the things that really matter don't ever change. They never do change. What a great God we serve. I want us to open our Bibles tonight to Psalm 86. Psalm chapter 86. And I would ask that sometime in your spare time to read this psalm, meditate upon every verse and every line. It's a great, great psalm. Matter of fact, it's a prayer by the man David. He was in difficulty. He was certainly needing the Lord to do something for him. And then down in verse number 11, he prays this prayer. He says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth." unite my heart to fear thy name. He said here in this verse, teach me thy way. I want to preach for just a few minutes tonight on the way of God. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, thank you for this privilege you've given us together tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you that you're a prayer-answering God. Thank you that you're a God that'll give you desires of your heart. Lord, I've come to realize this. If my desire is your desire, then I'll get my desire. And I'm sure glad of that. And I pray now that you would help us. I pray that you would be honored. And Lord, I recognize my inability. I recognize my insufficiency and my inadequacy. But I know that Paul said God is our sufficiency. I pray tonight your will be done. There would be one in our midst that is unsaved. I pray you would bring them into the acknowledgement of themselves and then the acknowledgement of yourself and draw them to you by the power of the Holy Ghost. I pray now that your will be accomplished, and for whatever is accomplished tonight, you will get all the glory for it. For it's in Jesus' wonderful and precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I won't keep you standing that long any longer, okay? All right. We find here in verse number 11 that David in his prayer is saying, teach me thy way, O Lord. Now, he's asking to enroll in the school of God. He's saying, God, I need you to be my teacher. He's saying, there's many other philosophies. There's many other ideas. There's many other men's ways that I could be taught. But he said, Lord, if I want to know the truth, I need you to teach me your way. And I want to say, friend, that when you get when you get saved by the grace of God, you not only get in the family of God, but you enroll in the school of God. And there's one thing for sure. God is not only a gracious father to the family, but he's a wonderful teacher to the student. And I'm glad that the Holy Ghost of God can bring to you and give you at the truth of God when no one else can. I'm glad for the Holy Ghost of God. Now he says here, teach me thy way. Now I thought about this. He says, teach me thy way. I'll walk in thy truth and unite my heart to fear thy name. He's seemingly saying, Lord, my heart is pulled in different directions. But if you'll teach me your way and let me know your truth, it'll bring my heart and glue it together. Can I tell you the only thing that'll unite your heart is the way and the truth of God. Jesus said, I am the way and I am the truth and I am the life. Hallelujah. And the way and the truth will bring the united life to a child of God. I tell you, we've got too many of the people of God being pulled in too many directions. But oh, we need to have one heart. We need to have one direction. We need to have one way in these days. Thank God for these that's under here. We don't all agree the same. We don't all cross our T's and dot our I's the same. But blessed be God. We've got a God in heaven. And we've become the vast minority in the world today. But we know the way. And we know the truth. And our heart is united. Amen. Praise God. I want to say, he said, Lord, teach me thy way. Now that way would indicate that we're going from one place to another. That word way, matter of fact, David said in Psalm chapter 40, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit and out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. What's that mean, preacher? That means in my goings, I am established because I've been taught his way. Is that not right? I'm glad that he set my feet on a rock. Somebody said, preacher, how can you have your feet set on a rock and go somewhere? Will you figure that out? I'm glad that we're in him. Hallelujah. And he settled me on a rock. I'm in him and I'm headed somewhere. Amen. Amen. Now, the Bible says in Isaiah 55 that his ways are past finding out. That his ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts and our ways. That's ways, plural. We don't understand the ways of God. As I've lived, I've come to find out that in the way of God, there's many ways that he leads us. And there's many avenues that he'll take us down. But they're all in the one same way. Sometimes he takes us through difficult times. Sometimes he takes us on the mountain. Sometimes he takes us in the valley. Sometimes he takes us in difficult places. But in all of those ways, it's still his way. Oh, it took me a long time to get to understand that. It took me a while as a child of God to know that when God led me through the dark time, it wasn't because I'd messed up. It wasn't because he was against me. It was because he wanted to teach me his way. Now, I want us to look at this for just a few moments. Go with me, please, to Psalm 77. Just back up here a page or two. Let's look at something here in the Word of God. Psalm 77, he says in verse number 13. Now look at it with me. Thy way. Now, there it is. It's not ways, but it's way. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Now, what the Word of God's saying? When David said, teach me thy way, the Word of God said, you need to get to the sanctuary. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Said, it's in the sanctuary. Amen. Where you're going to learn about the way of God. Boy, ain't that right? You see, it's in the sanctuary where we learn about God's character. That's where we learn about his sovereignty. That's where we learn about his providence. That's where we learn about that he's in control. That's where we learn about. You won't learn about that anywhere else. You'll find that out at the house of God. Notice here in verse number 13. He said, thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Then he asked this question, who is so great a God as our God? He said, since I've been going to the sanctuary, they've been telling me about a lot of gods. But he said, I've come to find out there ain't no God greater than our God. Can I tell you, friend, we serve the great God. We serve the only true and living God. We learn about his greatness in the sanctuary. For you that's been going to church all these years, have you learned how big God is? Ain't he big? Is he not a marvelous God? Sure he is. There's no one like him. We learn about his greatness. You see, the potter, when he goes for clay, I live in a community, and I got a preacher friend who is a potter, and he makes clay, or he makes pottery and vessels, but of course he buys his clay. But he said, found out that back in the old days, said the best place to find good clay or the best clay for the best vessels is where two rivers come together. And he said, where them two rivers meet, there's an unusual churning going on there. And there's a rolling. And there's a moving that you wouldn't get anywhere else. I want to tell you, that's where the potter found me. That's where he found you. That's where he found me. It's where two ways met. And when the two ways met, I've been going Satan's way for 27 years. But oh, when the two ways met, there was a churning went on. We call it old time conviction. But oh, the churning went on. And then the heavenly potter reached down and he got him a handful of nothing. He got him a handful of just old muddy dirt. He got him a handful of nothing. But hallelujah, he took me to the potter's house. He didn't leave me on the riverbank. He took me to the potter's house. And there he began to make a vessel. And I've learned about the hand of the potter in the sanctuary. Oh, I don't want to run too many rabbits here. If I do, Jim, you pull my coattail. They say that any time they start to make a vessel, it's just an old lump of clay. But he always takes his thumbs. I don't care. He's only got in his mind the finished product. But always, no matter what the finished product is, he starts the same. And he takes his thumbs and he starts working down the inside. He don't do much on the outside until he gets the inside pressed out to his hand. He won't move his hand down on it until the inside is pressed to his hand. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I'm telling you, he starts inside and he starts working those impurities out. And then it comes out, it swells out to whatever you want it in out there, and it gets to the hands of the potter. I'm glad that he picked me up one day out of the miry clay. But thanks be unto God, I felt his hand as a sinner, but I felt his hand as a sanctifier time and time again as he's working those impurities out. I don't hardly know what y'all used to around here. But Brother Scott said, just clean you out of place. I've got me one cleaned out. And I'm glad, hallelujah, that there's a God in heaven who cares for you and I. I'm preaching at church on Thursday nights. We have our midweek on Thursday nights. And I'm preaching on the I ams of the Spirit. Somebody said, well, you don't find that in the Bible. Well, the reason you don't is Jesus said in John 16:13, and where the Spirit of truth is come, he'll not speak of himself. So you'll never find him saying, I am. Now, Jesus said, I am multiple times. But you'll never find the Holy Spirit saying, I am. Holy Spirit's always saying, he is. Amen. He is. He is. But just because He can't say I am, don't mean that we can't say He is. And I'm glad the Holy Ghost is a lot of things. Amen. The first thing you dealt with, the reason I'm saying that is this. I talked about if He could say I am, He would say I am the seal. And you know the Bible said that we're sealed by the Holy Ghost until the day of redemption. And you know what, Brother Charlie? You know what happens? I'm glad when the seal, when the Holy Ghost moves in, He seals everything in that's in and seals everything out that's out. And what's in can't get out, and what's out can't get in. And He and that seal makes an impression. The king would have a seal and he would sign a signet with that seal, but he was making the impression from the outside in. But oh, Brother Billy, listen to me. He's just not making the impression from the outside in, but the seal is inside. He's making the impression from the inside out. You know the inside's looking more like Christ all the time. Some of you have to chew on that. Now the outsides are fading away. But that inward man is being renewed day by day. Why? Because the Spirit on the inside is bearing the image of Christ on the outside. He's oppressing from the inside out. Is He doing that for you? Somebody said, boy, He sure is working on my outside. I'm more interested in what He's doing on the inside. Because on the inside, He works everything out to His hands. I'm laboring here intentionally. You got to get this. Somebody said, boy, preacher, it's tough. It's rough what I'm going through. He's just working you to His hands. We're saying, boy, I wish the Lord would put His hand on us. He's saying, just let me do what's on the inside and I'll move you to my hand. I'll work you out to my hand. Oh, Lord. Hey, I'm trying to say to you, friend, we learn about the greatness of our God. He is interested in the vessels that He is making. I wasn't intended to dwell much there, but notice. He said, in the sanctuary, we learn about His greatness. But also, in the sanctuary, verse number 15, He said, thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. He said, with thine arm you've redeemed. Now, I know He's dealing with Israel there, but I'm going to say I've been redeemed too. And He's the one that did it. I didn't have a thing in the world to do with it. He just done it. And I'm glad He did. You know, under the law, the law dealt between God and man. Under the law, it was between God and man. But under love, it's between God and Christ. And I just get in on it. Listen. Under the law, that's still the way folk want to operate a lot. They say, boy, God's going to beat on you if you don't do such and such. Well, under the law, it was God dealing with man. But under grace, it's God dealing with Christ. And we just get in on it. Isn't that a blessing? I'm telling you, my dear friend, we need to understand that in the sanctuary, we not only learn about the greatness of God, but we learn about the grace of God. We learn that it's Him. You wouldn't have known that if you'd have quit church when you first got saved. You know why some people are chewing their fingernails off up at the elbow? Now, let me say to you that if they ever got saved, I don't care where they're at now, they're still saved. Now, down around home, they don't believe that. Even Baptists don't, the way they preach. They say, well, if you're doing this, you can't be saved. I'm just as rotten and capable of doing what I ever did when I was a sinner. Because there's part of me ain't saved. There's part of you ain't saved. Amen. We're still capable. I know this don't go over well. But we're still capable of sinning. But as long as I stay in the middle of the Father's will, of the middle of the Father's will, and He's a working on the inside, it's a working me out to His hand. And my friend, as long as His hand is a spinning the outside off, thanks be unto God, I can be a vessel that'll bring honor unto His name. Yeah, I got three amens right there. But it's the truth. I see we learn about His greatness. We learn about His grace. Look at verse 14. Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. We learn about His government in the sanctuary. We learn He's in charge. I felt a little tad of coldness there just a moment ago. Listen to me very carefully. We, as the children of God, are no longer under bondage. We've been set free, not to sin, because if He's working on the inside, it'll kill you if you do. It'll drive you nuts if you do. Amen. You don't have to try to keep from it. He's just working you out to His hand. You know, the Bible says, now stop me when it's time to stop. The Bible says in Romans 8 that we are more than conquerors. Have you ever really meditated on that statement? What in the world is more than a conqueror? A conqueror is somebody that's won all their battles. A conqueror is somebody that's never been defeated. And they ain't none of us in here even a conqueror. There's not one of us in here even a conqueror. But He's declared us more than a conqueror. How? Through Him who loved us. So what does that mean? That means that He was the conqueror. And you know what a more than conqueror is? Somebody that gets to enjoy the victory without having to fight the battle. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, friend, I'm enjoying the victory tonight. Not because of what I'm doing, but because of what He's done. We're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Oh my goodness, Eddie, hurry. I see here, we learn about His greatness and His grace and His government. God's in charge. But now watch this. And I'm going to go to point number two, and as far as we'll go, I got three. But I'll give you number two. There's 168 hours in the week. Our time in the sanctuary over at our place varies. And I'm sure it does your place. Now, where they program everything and the Holy Ghost not in charge, they can take you to the time. And they say, well, we're in church 4 hours and 13 minutes a week. Oh, that's tough right there now. They can, where the Holy Ghost don't have liberty, they can say, we're in church. We can tell you, preacher, we're in church 4 hours and 13 minutes a week. Oh, I'm getting in trouble, but I'm enjoying this. But when the Holy Ghost is in charge, you don't know. But we can say somewhere between 5 and 7 hours, we're in the sanctuary a week. That's three times. It'd be more than that this week, but that's three times a week. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and midweek. So let's say we're in church 6 hours a week. Well, that leaves 162 hours that we're not in the sanctuary. Now, preacher, if he is teaching me his way in the sanctuary, then does he not teach me when I exit the sanctuary? Well, let's go a little further here in this chapter. Look here, if you will. In Psalm 77 in verse 19. Thy way. There it is. Thy way is in the sea. Uh-oh. Now, we've left the sanctuary where we learn about his way, about his grace, his goodness, and his government, and his greatness. Now we exit the sanctuary and go into our respective places of whatever we do during the week. And now he says, thy way is in the sea. In the sanctuary, we learned about the character of God. But in the sea, we learn about the way of the course of God. The path. The path. And he said, thy way is in the sea. And he said, and thy path in the great waters. Then notice that last statement. And thy footsteps are not known. Lord, if y'all won't sing this for invitation, I'll help you sing it. But you know, a lot of times we sing that song, Footprints of Jesus, following them all the way. Boy, wouldn't it be easy if there were some? But you see, the church don't walk beside, we walk by faith. And there, I can promise you, for nearly 40 years now, I can tell you, in following the Lord, he don't leave no footprints. Why is that, preacher? Because his path is in the water. And he's the only one can walk on it. And walking on the water, he don't leave footprints. He said, thy way. Now listen, this will help somebody right here. He said, thy way is in the sea, and thy footsteps are not known. He said in the middle part of that verse, in the second clause, the path that he leads is in the great waters. Now, somebody said, preacher, I'm not understanding. All right, watch this. For us to be led into the waters, into these areas, it's the areas of human impossibilities. It's in the area where you can't do it.
You can't do it
at all. It's in the area where if you don't have help from somebody that can deal in the water, you're going to go under. He's going to lead you as a child of God into impossible situations that you cannot figure out, and you cannot get out, and you cannot stay there without him. Now, you know, a lot of people, you know, they talk about Simon Peter walking on the water. Well, I preached this last week over Brother Ken's, but I'll just say it here. The reason Jesus told Simon Peter to get out of the boat is to teach us not to. Somebody said, oh, I want to walk on the water. I don't. I want to stay in the ship. Because you see, when Simon Peter was walking on the water, the Lord was headed to the ship. But because, now see, the reason he told him to come is that Simon Peter was wanting to come, not sure if it was even the Lord or not. He said, if thou be the Christ, bid me come unto thee. Well, who in the world else could it be? Who else could it have been? He had just fed 5,000. Who else could it have been? But Simon Peter said, if. Boy, the Lord's teaching us, don't ever step out of the ship on an if. If you do, he'll have to take the time to rescue you before he can steal the storm for the ship. There's a lot of people. See, Jesus was headed to the ship, and he had to take a lot of time getting that sinking saint up, and the ship was still in a storm. If Simon Peter had stayed in the ship, he could have got to the ship quicker, and the ship and the sea could have been stilled. I'm just saying to you, friend, the safest place in the storm is in the ship. I'll get some kickback on that, I'm sure, because it messes up a whole lot of preaching. A lot of mine in days gone by. But think about it. Just think about it. Had he not asked. See, sometimes the Lord will grant you your request and it not even be his will. Now, I know I say stuff sometimes, and people say, I had chew on that a while. Well, chew on that in a while. It wasn't his will to give the nation of Israel King Saul, but they demanded it. And they got him. If they'd have waited a little longer, they'd have got David, and wouldn't have had to went through that mess with Saul. But God granted them their request. They got what they wanted, but they lost what they had. And Simon Peter stepped out of the ship, and he got what he wanted, but he lost that foundation, that security. And he started to sink. Well, I'm glad the Lord rescued him. But he could have spent all that time stealing the storm on the ship. A lot of churches is in trouble. And the storm can't be stilled because they got some folk that's out here the Lord's trying to rescue. If they just get back in the ship, the storm would be stilled. I'm a meddler now, I know. But I'm just simply saying, we're in trouble these days. And if you're a member of a good Bible-believing church, then thank God, stay in the ship. And if you're not, go ahead and leave and get in one that is. It's the only thing that's going to sail through to the end.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, that's right. You see, he said, thy way is in the sea. Now, Lord, can you really work in the sea? Can you really lead us into those impossible situations? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many of you in here in the will of God has been led into situations that if God had not intervened, you'd have never made it? I dare say if I ask for a show of hands about it, but 90% of hands would go up. You know why that is? God's teaching us that the things of this world don't have no solid footing. The things on this world, that's why he leads us into these impossible situations, so that we'll not trust what we're standing on back here, but we'll trust in him who can stand in the impossible places, and we can stay with him. He leads us there. He leads us there as individuals. He leads us there as families. He leads us there as churches. He leads us there as missions work. He leads us there as evangelists. He leads everybody to that place. My little old boy, my little old grandboys. And I don't ever preach without mentioning them, so get used to it. But my little old grandboys, both of them have handicaps. My oldest one, his name's Dax. You spell that with a D-A-X. His name's Dax, and he has Down. He's a little Down syndrome boy. Lord, what a youngin'. I wouldn't trade him for 10 million worlds. But my youngest one, he'll be 9 in December, and he's autistic and he don't talk. And he's nonverbal. He has some real difficulties. And listen to me. Listen. I may not get finished with this, but listen to me. Be all right to go down there a minute. I never do that because I have to come back up here. But I feel a little something here. Please listen to what I'm saying. If you've got a heart for God, and I'm talking about a deep, settled desire to please God, your testings will come in different areas in the early part of your life. It'll come from different avenues. But if you really want to please God with all your heart, He knows whether that desire is real or not. He will start testing and dealing with you in the area of who and what you love the most. See, I couldn't preach this if I had not experienced it. And God begins to deal with you in the area of who and what you love the most. My wife has been very sick over the years. She's doing very well now. Matter of fact, she's better now than she was 20 years ago. She's doing great. I told her it's just living with me is what's done that. She said, no, the first part is what done that. She's had so many difficulties, Brother Steve. You know all about it. And back when I first went in the ministry and started pastoring, I thought that all of my problems came through committees and deacon boards. And the problems of other people, I thought, my Lord, how am I going to handle this? Yeah. Yeah. But then when God started dealing in the area of what I love the most and who I love the most, I begged Him. I said, Lord, I'll take them other tests 10,000 times over. They seem so minor now. I didn't think I was going to survive then, but they seem so minor now. And Lord, if you'll just let me take them over again. And Lord, just change the test sheets, please. I know I failed a lot of those tests back there, and I'll be willing to take them over. Lord, I'll take them over. I'll take them over 10,000 times. I'll die taking them. If you just remove the pressure from off of my family. But the more I go, the more pressure's applied. And I'm not understanding all of that. I'm just preaching to you, my heart. I'm not understanding all of that. But I can tell you this. Job said in Job 23:16, for God maketh my heart soft. Oh, trouble. Troubles and tests don't have to harden your heart. If you got a desire for God, God can make your heart soft. I'm not saying that's where I am. I'm just telling you, I don't have no sad stories to tell. He's a good God. He's a wonderful Savior. There's no one like Him. Some of you may be dealing in that particular area, and your heart thumps and your heart beats for the things of God, and it seems like that He's touching things closer and closer to you. I'd much rather for Him to touch me as to touch those close to me. And you see, He leads us into those impossible situations. Brother Jim, He leads us into the sea. He leads us into those waters. I don't know of a path in the water. I can't follow a path in the water. I don't know, but he knows. He knows the way. Job said he knows the way that I take. And if I take his way, he'll always know that. I'm telling you, I want his way. God, teach me your way. Oh, God's a kick in a honey bucket over in my soul. Oh, listen to me, church. Oh, dear saint of God. Mama, Dad, when those situations start happening, don't get mad at God. No, that's what we do. Nobody would ever say it, but that's what we do a lot of times. We get mad at God. Because we know God could have kept it from happening is why we do that. But we get mad at God, and God ain't never been able to do anything for anybody that was angry with him. God can't help nobody that's mad at him. Well, they shouldn't have done me that way. Well, I shouldn't have to go through this. I've been living for God. I've been trying to serve him faithfully. Hey. I shouldn't be here.
Hey. Right. Hey.
Yeah. Why? Uh-oh. Why should you not?
That's a good question. Yes, sir, God. Yeah.
What have I done? What have you done to merit any respect?
Listen.
What have you done to merit anything?
Oh, my.
Oh, I'm trying to listen to the Lord here. Sure as I am under this pavilion tonight, these people in trouble. You're on the verge of being right where Mary was in Luke and John 11. You know why Mary sat still in the house when Martha went out to meet Jesus? You know why Mary sat still? She's mad at God. She's upset with the Lord because he didn't come when they sent for him. And if you'll study, you'll find in verse number 30 that Jesus had not yet come into town, but was in that place where Martha met him. Jesus was on his way to get Lazarus up, but he couldn't get Lazarus up till Mary quit being mad at him.
Listen.
The whole time Martha and Jesus are conversing, he's not taking another step toward Lazarus. You may be begging God for something. You may be asking, oh God, help us. You may be really asking him and begging him for a situation in your life. But check your own heart and see if you've got upset with him somewhere in the past. Because he didn't fix the situation. And you're a Mary sitting in the house waiting on him to move on you, and he's waiting on you to get up and come to him. Jesus didn't take another step toward Lazarus till Mary come out and got right. Don't get mad at him. How in the world can we get upset with one who gave his own life on Calvary for us? His way is in the sea. Listen now, I'm closing. His way in the sea, it is always a course of progress that's forward. You may feel like you're wandering, and you may feel like you're going in circles. But if it's always going forward if you're following him. Somebody said, preacher, is it ever the will of God to go in circles? Brother Joshua, would you come in and give us a word of testimony? Brother Joshua, could you come in and ask us how in the world you come up with the idea of tearing a wall down? He said, well, all I can tell you is God told me to go in circles. God told me to go round and round. Now, there's a lot of people that's going round and round in circles like Samson.
Yeah.
grinding at the mill with no sight. That ain't the circle I'm talking about. You've changed yourself. The world has changed you to that program. Oh boy. But Joshua going in circles was in the will of God. Somebody said, preacher, it don't seem like we're getting anything done. Are you following God? Are you still preaching this book? Somebody said, boy, but that seems like a wall that's keeping us from going forward. Just keep surrounding that wall. Somebody said, oh, preacher, you're a strange character. Listen, I've been down the road a while. And I'm trying to tell us, don't jump on the pastor when it seems like the services are just mediocre. And it seems like that it's just one Sunday right after the other. It could be God tearing a wall down just to see if you'll follow him in circles. And you know what? Every time they went in a circle, you know what they're doing? Forward progress. They was going forward. Because they was doing the will of God. That's impossible situations. That's a way that's in the sea. We should say. Israel comes up to the Red Sea. God's fixing to show them his way in the sea. They come up the Red Sea. Here's two cliffs on either side. There's the Red Sea before them and Pharaoh and his chariots coming in behind. Moses said to them, stand still. If I'd have been a preacher and if I'd have been pastoring that crowd, that's exactly what I'd have preached. Because where else you going to go? A lot of times we govern our messages by the circumstances we're in. See, Moses told the people to stand still. And boy, we've preached that and we've taught it that God told Moses to tell them. God didn't tell Moses to tell them to stand still. Moses told them to stand still. And then when he got done preaching his message, God said, Moses, why criest thou unto me? Tell them to go forward. Do what, Lord? Would you repeat that? Go forward. He never does tell you to go back. Go forward. But we can. It's impossible. And God says, but with me, there's nothing impossible. I'm going to teach you my way in the sea. And sometimes God can manifest his power and lead you right through those impossible situations and bring you out on the other side victorious. I'm not done, but I'll quit. Listen. The very thing. Now, this message tonight, I know, has bored some. Understand that. But it's helped others, I believe. Kindly helped me a little. But that sea, Brother Ken, that sea that was in front of them, they thought was going to be the end of them. They thought that was the end. But the very thing that they thought was going to take them under was the very thing God used to give them complete victory. He drowned the enemy in what they thought they was going to drown in. And you are right in the middle of that impossible situation. And God saying, I sure do want to help you. Because I'm going to teach you my way in the sea. And then you can learn not only about the character of God and the course of God. I'm done. The other one is in Nahum 1:3. He hath his way in the storm. I may deal with that tomorrow night. I don't know. But listen to me. Listen carefully. God knows where you are. God knows where I am.
God knows everything about you. And I know those words sound cheap. But when you're talking about God, there ain't nothing cheap. Somebody said, I've heard that all my life. It's still true.
Yes, sir.
And I really believe that there's someone or someones in here tonight that you're really needing God to work in a situation in your life. It's impossible for you to fix. Impossible. But somewhere in the recesses of your heart, and I would ask that you examine them, somewhere in the recesses of your heart, you've been just a little bit upset with the Lord for not fixing your problem. You've looked around and you've seen God fix others' people's problems that's not near as faithful as you are. And that's when the devil crawls up on your shoulder and screams in your ear, God don't really care about you. He don't really care about you. But the devil's a liar. God cares. And God is wanting to do something in your heart. He may not change all your circumstances. He may change you to keep you from being mad at him anymore. God's just saying, oh, I don't really want you mad at me. You know what he's saying? I'm not mad at you. I'm not mad at you. Could we stand?
Camp meeting's about help. Camp meeting's about substance. A lot of camp meetings that have withered and died because they thought camp meeting was just about a shout. Camp meeting's about substance. Thank God for the shouting and the worship. But I'll tell you, if you're mad at God, you can't worship. If you're mad at God, you're missing out on the help. You're missing out on the substance. This hadn't been a sermon. Hadn't been a sermon, been a message tonight. You mind the Lord. Sing, Jim.
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling.
Y'all just mind him.
Take thy cross and follow me. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I
will follow. No accident. In 1982, he is sitting back yonder. No accident in 1983, I came around that corner, and it's no accident you under this tabernacle tonight. God sent a word for your heart, for your sanctuary, for your seed. Y'all listen.
I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him, all the way.
Think about it.
Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads
that just doesn't need to be some religious hymn. That needs to be truth. That needs to be the experience of your lives. My life, my church, our churches.
I'll go with him through the judgment. I'll go with him through the judgment. I'll go with him, with him all the way.
Can you sing it and mean it with him now?
Where he leads me up.
You may need to keep your mouth shut. You may just need to stand there. But oh, that ought to be the psalm, the sentiment of our heart tonight.
Where he
Brother Jim, lift it up. Appreciate the preaching of the Word of God tonight. 66 other times. Now for the 67th time. There's been a will for every meeting. God has one for this meeting. And I don't want to miss it. And He knows what you and I need. He always sends it at the right time, in the right way, through the right servant, in the right service. Oh my. Hope and pray you'll be praying for this man of God tonight. Hope and pray you'll be praying for this meeting. I'll tell you what you've heard tonight will live. When the shouts are a memory, when feelings subside, what you've heard tonight, will it, when you're in the middle of the sea, when you're going in circles, this truth will live, amen. Father, I thank you for the faithfulness of the man of God tonight, just to magnify you. And God, we've come tonight in this meeting for the 67th time to find out which way you're going. And we're going to go with you. Lord, I pray everybody come, pray everybody go. But Lord, whether everybody does or not, we won't go with you, oh God. Thank you for the faithfulness of your servant this night. Rest him. Send him back tomorrow night with another word from heaven, oh God. Bless every preacher, every heart, every soul. In your holy name we pray. Amen and amen. Let me say to all the men of God that are here tonight, over here to my right, over here to my right, there's some information Brother Curtis Preston has about his mission work. But over here to my right, all the preachers that are here tonight, if you don't have one, we'd like you to have a copy of Brother Wade's life story in his book. You can have a copy of that book. And a DVD of his homegoing service. All the preachers, those are free for you. Anyone else that'd like to have one of those, if you'll make a gift to the radio station, you can have those. And somebody will be over here to help you with that. Been a blessing to be in the sanctuary tonight. Amen. 7:30 tomorrow night, Brother Doug Raines and his family will be singing with us in the service tomorrow night. You'll want to come and be a part of that and hear them, but you'll want to come hear this man of God tonight. You be sure to speak to him after the service. Greet one another. Be careful going home. Shake hands. You're at liberty if you've minded the Lord.